Just a quick heads up that I am currently on maternity leave, which means that the Fertility Co podcast is taking a break. But please don't panic because I am already working on some exciting things behind the scenes. And when I come back, I'm really looking forward to sharing with you a brand new, completely free mini course all about ovulation and finding your fertile window. In the meantime, there are still heaps of ways that you can continue to learn about your fertility and your menstrual cycle while I take a break. If you're just getting started with charting your cycle, you can check out my free fertility roadmap. If you want to dive deeper and learn exactly when you're ovulating, then you can watch my Fix Your Fertility Masterclass. There is, of course, also my Conceive with Confidence workshop series and, of course, my flagship online program, Fertility School. If you want individualized support from a trained fertility educator, that's me, then you can book in to my waitlist for a one-on-one consult, and I would love to work with you to achieve your fertility goals in 2024. Spots are strictly limited though, and links to all of those resources are in the show notes.
I'm Rachel, and I'm obsessed with all things periods, pregnancy, pelvic floor, and helping women just like you to navigate all of life's major milestones. I'm a physiotherapist, a natural fertility educator, and my passion is teaching women how to take control of their health. Fertility, pregnancy, nutrition, and menstrual cycle health, we'll dive deep into all of it right here. All those questions you've been secretly Googling, all those things you're too embarrassed to ask your doctor, because, well, we're women. Shouldn't we just know this stuff? So get comfy and get ready to finally have all of your questions answered. Hit subscribe now and let me teach you what they never taught us in health class. It's not you, it's your hormones. Hello and welcome to another episode of the podcast. And today we are jumping straight into it. I speak with women all the time who have said to me that their doctor won't investigate potential issues with their fertility until they've been trying to conceive for 6 months, 12 months with no success, that they need to have had more than one miscarriage to be referred to a specialist, to just stop stressing, give it time, it will happen. Even women who are experiencing unsuccessful IVF cycles are usually just booked straight in for the next one. Women are not getting the support and the encouragement that they need to feel in control of their fertility. And sadly, women are not routinely taught about preconception care and daily factors that could be impacting their fertility. Many reproductive conditions, many issues with ovulation and your cycle, many of those traditional PMS symptoms associated with having a period that you dread every single month are all related to an imbalance between our hormones. And we can absolutely treat a hormone imbalance. Sometimes a few small changes are enough to have a really big impact. Sometimes you may need artificial hormones in one form or another to address the issue. Sometimes it's harder to treat, but the key is investigating what has caused the imbalance in order to correct it. So that's what I want to talk about in this episode: hormone balance, the role of our key sex hormones, and how to manage potential issues by first looking at your environment and your exposure to potential pollutants and contributors to hormone imbalance that you can address for yourself. So let's kick off by diving deeper into the key sex hormones and why we need optimal hormone balance to optimize ovulation. And we start with estrogen. Estrogen levels peak during the follicular phase, just before ovulation. At the beginning of a new menstrual cycle, the first day of your period, estrogen levels are low. As you finish menstruating and ovulation approaches, estrogen levels rise and trigger that thickening of the endometrium in preparation for implantation of the fertilized egg. High estrogen levels also cause production of cervical mucus, which makes it easier for sperm to pass through the vagina and reach the egg. Balanced estrogen levels maintain healthy skin, hair, and bones. Low estrogen means less cervical mucus is produced, which can contribute to difficulties getting pregnant. Onto our other key sex hormone, progesterone. Progesterone levels are very low at the beginning of the menstrual cycle and they will remain low until after ovulation has occurred. This is because progesterone is a key hormone in establishing and maintaining pregnancy, so it's not required until pregnancy is possible, which is obviously after ovulation. Progesterone is essential for balancing estrogen levels and maintaining overall hormone balance. Levels can be depleted when the body's under stress, and it can influence our moods as well as the way our bodies break down fat. Progesterone itself is not the cause of traditional PMS symptoms like cramping and bloating and headaches and mood swings, even though it is at peak levels during the luteal phase when symptoms are usually experienced. It's actually the imbalance between progesterone and estrogen levels that lead to these symptoms, which is why it is so important that these two hormones are balanced if you are seeing these sorts of symptoms in your cycle. When an egg is released from a follicle inside the ovary at ovulation, the follicle that remains becomes the corpus luteum. The corpus luteum secretes progesterone during the luteal phase of the cycle. Progesterone then takes over estrogen's role of maintaining that thickened endometrium to ensure that a pregnancy can happen. If the fertilized egg implants into the endometrium and pregnancy has occurred, progesterone levels will remain high to maintain the pregnancy. If the egg wasn't fertilized, progesterone levels will drop quite suddenly and cause the endometrial lining to shed and be flushed out of the body with your next period. Many period irregularities and symptoms are caused by an underlying hormone imbalance, and there are lots of reasons why hormones can become imbalanced, but ultimately the menstrual cycle will rely on that delicate balance between these major sex hormones to promote a consistently healthy cycle and ovulation. The level of one hormone is influenced by and will itself influence the level of another. So if one level becomes too high, it may trigger the release of another hormone. If one level becomes too low, it may signal to the body to stop producing another hormone. And this is what we see in the menstrual cycle with the domino effect of all of the key hormones. Understanding what has caused a potential hormone imbalance means that you really do need to investigate this further with a healthcare professional. But we do want to look at general health, diet, stress, and your environment, because all of these factors can influence the balance of your sex hormones. And addressing these general health and lifestyle factors is the best place to start when managing hormone imbalance. Let's start by talking about high estrogen. Estrogen levels as a whole will decline as we approach perimenopause with age, and low estrogen is responsible for mood swings, fatigue, and difficulty sleeping. And it often occurs alongside low progesterone, especially in our fertile years. High estrogen is usually linked to high stress, diet, or environmental factors. In general, most of us have way too much estrogen in our bodies. Physical or emotional stress leads to high cortisol levels, and cortisol is the key stress hormone. And this will impact progesterone levels and leave estrogen levels too high or low in comparison, usually too low. Your diet is a huge factor as well. So medications like the oral contraceptive pill and the Mirena, again, will leave your estrogen either too high or too low. More often than not, in the Western world, women will experience high estrogen, which is called estrogen dominance, and it's usually progesterone that suffers as a result. So possible signs of estrogen dominance might include bloating, sore breasts, mood swings, and rage in the lead up to your period, fibroids, low libido, heavy periods, irregular cycles, headaches, or migraines. These symptoms can be caused when too much estrogen is produced, or it isn't broken down properly and it's reabsorbed in the body instead of being eliminated. Or perhaps progesterone levels are just too low to counterbalance its effects. While you can use progesterone supplements to manage this, it's not ideal because you're ultimately left with high estrogen plus high progesterone too. And while it might be treating the symptoms, it's not actually addressing the cause of high estrogen. And this can impact ovulation and your fertility, as well as leading to long-term health problems. Now let's talk about low progesterone. Progesterone helps to eliminate excess body fluid and it regulates our blood sugar levels. It helps our happy hormones, helping the brain to produce dopamine and serotonin, which also helps us to sleep better. Progesterone is thought to improve the symptoms of depression for this very reason. Low progesterone can also cause insomnia and poor sleep, weight gain, water retention and bloating, and it also means the thyroid can't do its job properly either. So if you notice those symptoms of anxiety or depression are particularly heightened during the later stages of your cycle, alongside possible PMS symptoms in the luteal phase, this could be a sign that your progesterone levels are a little lower than ideal. Low progesterone also goes hand in hand with thyroid issues. So while any problems with the thyroid might also contribute to low progesterone, low levels may lead to hypothyroidism. So it's a bit of a cycle, and that's when the thyroid is underactive. So if the hormones that regulate your endocrine system aren't being produced in high enough quantities, progesterone production too might be affected. Another reason for low progesterone levels may be in women with PCOS and polycystic ovaries, as well as anovulatory cycles. If you don't ovulate, there's a follicle that becomes the corpus luteum, which produces progesterone. And so that's not happening if you're not ovulating. And so that means that levels will remain low. Finally, I talk about stress all the time, but stress has a really significant impact on progesterone levels. So most of your progesterone is produced by your ovaries, but a small amount is also produced by your adrenal glands. It then gets converted to other hormones, including the stress hormone cortisol. Your adrenal glands are really sensitive to any stress that the body's exposed to, and it will adjust its response to stress by producing cortisol in whatever amount is required. Excess cortisol production puts our body into that fight, flight, or freeze response, and it switches off any non-essential activities for survival. The precursor to the hormone progesterone is called pregnenolone, and the precursor to the hormone cortisol is progesterone. So maintaining hormone balance in the body is a delicate balancing act. And like I've said, any disruption to one hormone is going to influence another. Cortisol is the main stress hormone. Progesterone is the hormone that makes you ovulate and helps you to conceive. If you are under stress, your body is going to convert that precursor pregnenolone into progesterone. But then if you're under stress, it's also going to convert progesterone into cortisol. So as more and more cortisol is being produced, progesterone levels are going to drop as a result. Estrogen levels are too great by comparison, so we see signs of estrogen dominance and that imbalance between the sex hormones. To make matters worse, as cortisol levels rise, they will block progesterone receptor sites to prioritize cortisol. Because when the sex hormones and the stress hormones fight it out for dominance, the stress hormones will always win because the body is always going to prioritize survival. And the frustrating part of this is that if you have a blood test, your progesterone levels might appear normal because it's there in your body, but its effect is being blocked to produce cortisol. I hope that makes sense. It's a little confusing, especially when I'm just speaking it and you can't see it visually. But ultimately, if the person interpreting your blood test results can't spot this, then you're going to be told that everything is fine because your progesterone levels are there. They just can't work effectively. So when do you test for a hormone imbalance? If you're noticing any of the symptoms that I've mentioned and you suspect that you might have a hormone imbalance, then it might be worth having a blood test. This is done, like I said, a simple blood test, and you'll likely have estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, cortisol, and your thyroid levels checked. Because levels of the sex hormone fluctuate throughout the menstrual cycle, you need to make sure you're testing at the right time of your cycle. Some testing is done at particular points of the cycle, but please remember that this is likely going to be according to that typical 28-day cycle with day 14 ovulation, which is ridiculous if we're looking at something like PCOS, which is why understanding your individual cycle and knowing what phase you're in before or after ovulation when getting your blood test is really essential to interpreting your results correctly. And this is where working with a practitioner who is trained in women's health is ideal. So how do you manage your hormone imbalance? You will notice a common pattern when I talk about managing any kind of hormonal ovulation or fertility issue, and it all comes back to those four key pillars of fertility: diet, exercise and movement, sleep, and stress management, especially stress, as I'm sure you now understand. So the first step is to understand your cycle well enough to actually detect a potential problem. The next step is to look at your environment and ways in which you can reduce the effects of hormone disruptors and environmental pollutants that you're being exposed to constantly. Finally, we're also going to talk a little bit about nutrition, pesticides, and why eating organic where possible can help to manage hormone imbalance. So let's start with hormone disruptors in our environment. So I talked about this in last week's episode as well, as in a lot more detail in episode 24, household items that may be affecting your fertility. So you may never have heard of some of these chemicals before, phytoestrogens, xenoestrogens, because they're not something that's commonly known about. Hormone disruptors are ultimately any chemical that can alter how hormones work in your body. And this isn't just limited to your fertility and your reproductive system either. So this can impact all of our body systems. So a very basic chemistry lesson for you is that the chemical structure of these artificial estrogens in particular, so the xenoestrogen and the phytoestrogen, these are very similar to the chemical structure of the hormone estrogen. And this means that these artificial hormones will bind to the same chemical receptors in our body that estrogen binds to. So if all of our estrogen receptors are blocked up with these artificial forms of estrogen that are mimicking estrogen in our body, or any chemicals that have a similar structure, then there's excess estrogen floating around and it doesn't have anywhere to bind to because there are no receptors left. So if estrogen can't bind to its receptors, then it can't do its job. The body will then think that there isn't enough estrogen, and so it will begin to produce more and more, and that is the beginning of a vicious cycle. Our body's normal functioning does involve fluctuations in our hormones. This is normal to some extent, but these small changes can have more significant effects on our bodies. And our hormone systems release hormones that signal to different tissues in the body what to do next. And it's just one big domino effect. And you know this from learning about how the hormones are involved in regulating the menstrual cycle. So when these toxins and these hormone disruptors, like these xenoestrogens, come into our body and mimic our hormones, especially estrogen, our levels are going to be disrupted. Organs like the uterus and the breasts are hormone sensitive, so they're particularly vulnerable to these artificial hormones. And the problem is that we're being exposed to all of these different hormones throughout our lifetime. So they're really slow to break down in the environment, and we just don't know the long-term effects in humans yet because we're still being exposed, but it is still relatively new in the broad scheme of research. Xenoestrogens are going to impact ovulation and fertility because they are impacting estrogen levels. We know that much. We know that they don't break down and they actually accumulate in the body in a process called biomagnification. So our fat cells and our adipose tissues store estrogen, which means that these chemicals are also stored in our fat cells and they can build up over time and lead to a lot of long-term health conditions, some types of cancer, obesity, and problems with our fertility and miscarriage, and cause things like endometriosis or aggravate the symptoms if we already have endometriosis. So there are a couple of key hormone disruptors and environmental pollutants that I want you to start paying close attention to. The first is plastics, BPA, and phthalates, and these are found in skincare, makeup, shampoos, and conditioners. They're absorbed into the skin and they lubricate other ingredients, which means that moisturizer or makeup can be applied and spread more easily onto the skin. Next is BPA, and this is commonly known about in terms of food storage. So plastic drink bottles, food containers, canned food. It's also on receipt paper. So if someone wants to hand you a receipt and you don't really need it, just say no thank you, because you're then going to have that on your hands, which is then absorbed into your skin and transferred other places. This is especially an issue if you're working in retail and you're handling a lot of receipt paper. Phthalates are also found with fragrance, like perfumes and candles, and research has shown a link between phthalates and a number of fertility markers, including sperm quality, to such an extent that perfumes and strong-smelling deodorants are now banned in IVF clinics for both couples and the staff that work there. So basically, when you see the word fragrance or perfume, if they're looking particularly fancy, on the ingredient list of a product, remember that this is an umbrella term for a collection of chemicals that are likely going to impact your hormones and your fertility. So using the word fragrance is a sneaky way for the product manufacturer to actually avoid listing those specific chemicals contained in the product to make it smell nice. So that is why perfumes aren't allowed in IVF clinics, because they contain these harmful chemicals, and the chemicals that make you smell nice can actually linger in the air. They're lingering in the air if you can smell them. So during the IVF process, when the embryo transfer occurs, there is a really small window of time where that fragile, or those fragile embryos, we should say plural, will be removed from an incubator and they're in contact with the air. So they can be exposed to these chemicals. So by eliminating these chemicals from an IVF clinic, as well as a multitude of other measures, they have air humidifiers, they have lots of different things in place to minimize exposure to these chemicals as much as possible. And this is to increase the chances of IVF success and minimizing any potential damage to the embryos. So if these clinics are already erring on the side of caution, then it's time we all did the same and stop spraying this stuff onto our bodies every day. The other key hormone disruptor that I want to talk about are pesticides. So we all know that going organic is healthy, and if you can, going organic is going to significantly reduce your exposure to pesticides, and you always want to make sure that you're washing your fruit and veg before you eat it too. So the reason why organic is so important is that, for example, the main ingredient in Roundup, a really commonly used pesticide, is called glyphosate, and it does its job by disrupting a process in plants where they generate essential nutrients. So this means when we eat foods that have been treated with Roundup or similar pesticides, we're not actually getting the nutrients that we need from these foods. When we ingest it, glyphosate can trigger inflammation of our intestinal walls and cause all sorts of gut problems too, and inflammation. And this is just one example of the many chemicals that are contained in pesticides and that contaminate non-organic foods that are treated with pesticides. Research shows that just 1 week of eating organic can reduce the amount of glyphosate in your body by 70%. That's kind of disgusting when you think about it. It's pretty scary. So eating organic can obviously be very expensive, especially in the way of the world right now where cost of living is insane. Some fruits and vegetables are more likely to contain higher amounts of pesticides than others. So you can do your research based on the foods that you most commonly eat and work out where you can opt to go organic and where you might be okay. So I'm not going to list them all, but Google the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, and this will give you some guidance about where to prioritize eating organic. So I'll also share some more details on this on my Instagram. So we've covered a bit in today's episode. So hormonal imbalance is obviously an enormous topic to tackle on its own, and there are of course many different reasons why you could have high estrogen and low progesterone, but there, that's the most common hormonal balance that we see. You could of course have high progesterone and low estrogen, but like I said, I've talked about the most common presentations today and some of the most common symptoms and causes. As always, I don't know your individual history, so I try to talk about management in a really broad sense so that you can do some things yourself before exploring more individual options with a practitioner. But it is almost always coming back to nutrition, exercise, sleep, and stress management, as well as managing your environment in terms of hormonal disruptors and environmental pollutants and eliminating those as much as possible. I talk about hormone imbalance a lot with my clients, with women in DMs, so I hope you found this episode helpful. You can get today's show notes with everything that I talked about today, as well as links to freebies and other related episodes at fertilitycode.com.au/57. Bye for now, and don't forget that knowledge is power. When you truly understand your body, you are empowered to make informed decisions and take control of your health. Until next time.
If you've made it this far, you deserve a huge virtual hug because you just finished another episode of the Fertility Co podcast. New episodes are released every Wednesday, so make sure you hit subscribe now so you don't miss when the latest goes live. Why not make my day and leave me a quick rating and review while you're over there? If you want more, head on over to Instagram at Fertility Co, slide on into my DMs and say hello, or you can visit fertilityco.com.au/podcast for show notes and access to all of the freebies that I talked about in this episode. Until next time. Let's talk about TempDrop. TempDrop's wearable sensor and accompanying charting app brings the full fertility tracking solution right to your phone. Wear the TempDrop sensor on your upper arm during sleep and then just sync to the charting app whenever it's convenient for you. TempDrop believes that every woman should be empowered and equipped with the knowledge to take control of their body. Sound familiar? That's where TempDrop steps in to provide clear, science-backed technology to help you to better track your cycle. I only recommend products that I use and love, and I love my TempDrop tracker. You can get 10% off your tracker with the code AFFertilityCo or head to fertilityco.com.au/TempDrop for more information.